lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Tommy, episode 109.
Amazing. I'm surprised that we've got any viewers this week, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, you know what? It was one of the most boring motorsport races I've ever watched. We don't sugarcoat things here.
No, we're not sugarcoating it. Well, I mean, it's one of these things. There's still plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
But that was a snooze fest.
Absolute snooze fest. And, you know, you're always going to get them. But my point is I don't know what my point is. but it's episode 109.
Yes, it is.
I can't believe we've made it this far.
109 is pretty good. 1% of all podcasts make it to 100, they say.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. Mate, I'm a bit rattled. I'm sure the listeners can tell I'm a bit rattled and I'm sitting with a man who's basically got an open wound.
Yeah, I had a bit of an incident today, unfortunately.
What were you fingering on that finger to get that open wound?
I'd love to have a good story, but I've been in hospital today. Three stitches on the old kit and caboodle over here.
I've asked you three times what happened and you can't give me a straight answer.
I was opening a car door, somehow... some way have just sliced my finger open.
But how does a car door do that?
I don't know.
What's in a car door?
I don't know. I just, it was in the candle. It was sharp. It was something broke off. I'm not sure. I sell cars. So it was a trade-in.
What car? Name
Skoda. A Skoda Karoq. It was 2020 model. 83,000 Ks. Trade-in 17 grand.
I thought Skoda went bust.
No. Skoda's actually come back. Skoda's actually right now.
Swedish?
No, it's German. It's a poor man's Volkswagen. That's what they say. And then I just walked upstairs to poor Kate, and who's the head of our admin. She
shout out.
She was packing her things up, and I said, "Kate, you got a Band-Aid with the most amount of blood I've ever seen coming down my hand." I went over to the hospital, got it stitched up, and 2 hours later, I'm here. So,
you dragged her out.
Oh, the poor thing! Like, yeah, she had to come with me as a duty of care. So, she had a couple of hours of overtime. $400 later,
you're gonna have to buy a lunch.
Yeah, I will. I'll definitely.
You know what's funny? Well, it's probably
don't tap it too hard.
Yeah, sorry, mate. No fingering for you. Well, it would have been around the time that happened. I was talking to the boys at work. I work in the motorcycle industry. And we were talking about trade-ins. And talking about the levers. And a lot of the riders who listen to this podcast will know what I'm talking about. But people would have like knives as levers. There'll be levers, but they're knives.
Oh, my God.
And they're like sharp as knives. And people would like fall off the knot. And like these levers would chop fingers off.
But why? What's the purpose?
Because it's like, you know, they want to be like cool and tough. And they're in like Jigs of Thousands and R1s.
That's just ridiculous.
It would have like really sharp bar ends as well. So if it drops on you, it would pierce your hand or whatever. Like crazy. And then we're talking about like, you know, slicing your finger. We're talking about like losing a finger, slicing your finger. Bang. You've done
that's
that. But
crazy.
It wasn't as cool. It was in a car door on a fucking Skoda. This man is the epitome of toughness. Look at him.
No, far out. Everyone's like, what happened? What happened? I'll walk back. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, the story's terrible. So
you should have said, you know, you gave someone a left right good night or something.
Yeah, like, you know, there's nothing I could have said. Like, I can't explain the story that makes it sound. I can't even add mayo to it,
bro. It's actually impossible. You've like it's like checkmate in the story. Like, you've got nowhere to move.
I know this might be boring, listeners, but I need you to understand. At 4 p.m. I'm doing my normal work. At 4:30 I'm in a doctor's office. No, sorry, but at the hospital. I get a tetanus shot. For some reason, they also give me a whooping cough injection. I was like, what's going on here? And she goes, you might as well get it done. We're here.
Well, maybe they watched the pod and they listened to like the last three episodes of you coughing your guts up.
Well, she said the tetanus of the whoopings in one. So she goes, I might as well just give you that, love. I said, all right. And then I get general anesthetic, adrenaline pumped into my finger, and then stitches. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I was just having a normal work day half an hour ago. And here I am. But anyway.
Yeah, and the kick of all of it is you can't even tell us what happened. Like, it's
no,
wild.
I can't even tell you. Like, it's not even a good story.
It must have been like a razor or something in there.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Apparently, it's a chunk of my finger. It's sitting in the car somewhere. I'll go check it out. I will not work tomorrow, but I'll go check it out Wednesday. RDO, I'm not medically you know, not medically timed out from this. I'm RDO.
Well, if you're in sales, you could lose your own mother to a car accident and it would still expect you in the next day.
That's the retail industry, isn't it? Especially cars and bikes.
100%.
But speaking of good stories, James, Nemean Clothing, that's a great story, isn't it?
Great story.
Yeah.
We love them.
We love them. We need to get on board, guys. Check out their stuff. Jump on their website, Nemean.clothing.
Moto Heaven, Moto Heaven, them out
as always.
MotoHeaven.com.au.
And guys, the subscriptions on YouTube growing great, and we really, really appreciate it. We're getting more and more content out there we possibly can. So
yeah,
really appreciate it. Like, subscribe, all that boring stuff.
Yeah, and thank you for everyone that signed up and watched our Patreon. It's gonna be once a month. Patreon is out, so it's our last month's recap of all the racing through MotoGP and Formula One. So if you haven't subscribe now, be a part of the bros, and then whatever hot take you have, we'll put them up at the end of the month. Your hot take is guaranteed read out by us, and you could be from all the way from Ohio or North Carolina.
Drayson Silva, sorry, you're from North Carolina.
What did he call, this might upset our Ohio listeners, no, what did he call Ohio?
Oh boys, I'm not from Ohio, I've been called worse things.
That place is shitsville.
Classic.
Fly us out, Jason. We want to come hang with you.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's a good, good point. Good point.
Show us around North Carolina. Nah. I thought North Carolina is a pretty nice area.
The jewel of the South, they call it, even though it's North. All right, guys, let's jump into...
South, fucking shit talking.
That's your one F word for the night.
I've already done about three.
Oh yeah.
Well, mate, you're on the end zones. You're a bit loopy.
Disgusting. All right, guys. Like results from results from the Japanese Grand Prix. Max Verstappen first. Lando Norris second. Oscar Piastri third. Charles Leclerc fourth. George Russell fifth. Kimi Antonelli sixth. Lewis Hamilton seventh. Isaac Hadjar eighth. Alex Albon ninth. And Ollie Bearman rounding out the top 10. Almost identical qualifying to race it was.
Yeah, well, there was like two passes.
And this is a rarity for F1. And, well, probably not a rarity, but the top 10 who started finished the first lap in exactly the same positions, which is quite rare.
Well, I know when I get onto these subjects, so I just want to bring them up now as just an overview. There's three stories that I want to talk about today. Verstappen, his pole lap and his race. Hadjar.
Yep.
And Ollie Bearman. Yeah. Three amazing drives.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, three different, obviously, different drivers, different teams, and in completely different situations almost. So it's for a really boring race, there's actually some interesting stories in that. And another story is probably Lewis Hamilton and where he's at. Obviously, he had that sprint win, but showed realistically nothing in... Would you say it's a driver's track?
Yeah, driver's track, but qualifying just is so important. He made that one pass on Hadjar at the start and then just didn't have the pace. But yeah, let's start with Verstappen. That qualifying lap was just phenomenal.
Is that our performance of the week?
Performance of the week. It was... And guys, you have to appreciate it, and we speak about this all the time. This car is probably the fourth or fifth car, fastest car on the grid. And the way he threw it into those corners, and as you quoted yesterday, you know, he almost crashed three times. It was the best quali lap I've ever seen him done. And he had no right to be on pole. No right.
No.
He has no right to be 1 point behind Lando in the championship either after these three races. No, he has no right to be there.
Is he 1 point?
One point. McLaren have the fastest car. You can argue that Red Bull might have the third fastest car, fifth fastest car, second fastest. You can argue that point, but we know for a fact that McLaren has the fastest car.
I personally think it's McLaren... I think it's McLaren, Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull. That's my four.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have to look at Hadjar. I mean, this guy's a rookie. He's his third race and he's putting it, you know, seventh on the grid in that racing bull. We'll get on to Lawson later because he had actually half a shocker, to be honest, in the scheme of things. And what probably wasn't documented as much in the media, I think they've probably oversaturated him. Yeah. Over the last couple of weeks, but he put on the soft tires at the end and then got passed by Sainz and the Williams, and Sainz went up three positions and he went backwards. So don't know what happened there. The other big story of the weekend, James, and again, it was probably one of the biggest crushes I've seen in a long time, was that Jack Dylan crush in practice.
It was wild.
And he was injured. And there's arguments today that he needed help out of the car at the end of the race.
I saw some footage from that from Ocon. I think Ocon was helping him.
Helping him out. Yeah. So there's a couple of arguments should have been racing that day. But if he pulls out in practice and Colin Pinto or...
Can't do it.
Because you're gone. Colin Pinto has a good race... Colin Pinto was... I don't think he was there. I think he was actually... testing an old Alpine somewhere. But they had their other rookie there who did practice one. I can't remember his name. A Japanese guy. And you couldn't let him jump in the car, because if he has a good performance, you're done. Your career is almost done. Mm. So you have to do anything to get in that car.
Take a leaf, and he obviously has, but take a leaf out of his old man's book. His old man had to fuse his two legs together.
That's a great point.
It's different times, but we see it all the way through motorsport, through racing. Niki Lauda almost died, burnt himself to death.
Yeah, and then came back weeks later and nearly won the championship. Crazy. You know,
so it's obviously different. It's a lot different, his situation, but you just have to grind it out.
Yeah, it was 100%. I mean, it's he just has to grind out. When I was watching practice, and just it was a dumb mistake.
Well, we spoke about this when we were watching the race together, and I said to you, Tom, he's Jack Dylan's lucky with this Tsunoda Lawson saga because it's taken all the heat off him, because there's going to be pressure coming soon. So Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea, because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom, but that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
So yeah, if anyone doesn't know, I mean, if you're living under a rock, if you don't, he left the DRS open into turn one. Now, it's the only track on the calendar, bar Silverstone, that you have to manually close the DRS going into the first corner. Because DRS closes with a release of the throttle or a touch of the brake. Where in turn one, they actually go in full throttle and then trail brake into the corner. So when he's done all these laps on the sim, which he's done for 3 or 4 years for that team, 3 years, 2 or 3 years, I should say. In the sim, you don't have to release the DRS. It turns off because it's a computer game. Mm. It turns off at the end of the straight anyway. So he's never manually doing it. Never manually done it on the sim. And this is, you just get so caught up in muscle memory from this sim. It's nothing like the real thing. It's like Kimi Raikkonen. He never used to jump in the sim.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton's not a big sim racer, but all these new kids coming through, they're relying on it so much. And look, it's fundamentally why these rookies are going better than sometime in the past, because they get so many laps on these tracks already, and it's pretty close to what it is. But it's just a fundamental mistake in destroying the car. 50 Gs, to, you know, 300-kilometer crash. I mean, it's scary. And look, not a lot of runoff either. I mean, we talked about this. I mean, that track is an old school track.
Yeah, we talked about this, funny enough, like a day before it happened on a Thursday. We gave each other a call when we were both driving to work, and we were talking about a few tracks. I made a joke to you. I'm like, we should have broken out the mics then when we were talking about tracks. But like, Suzuka is notorious for where, like, you know, Colin Edwards made a famous quote where he said, the right-hander coming out of that hairpin, you know not to crash there. You can't crash there. There's no runoff. Yeah. And coming into that first corner at Suzuka, car or bike is actually one of the hardest turns to get right.
Oh, yeah. Anything that you got to turn and brake at the same time, yeah. like trail brake.
Yeah.
It's similar to like that, the second last corner at Sepang. Yeah,
going to the back straight.
It's a very tough corner to get right. And
make up so much time.
Oh, like even like when you play the PlayStation game, like a Gran Turismo. Like, yeah, I mean, you could make up half a second in that turn.
Let's bring this all the way back to Max Verstappen. That's why he got pole.
Yeah.
It's a driver's track.
Driver's track.
On that one lap. And that's where you got to make that speed up. And that's where
there's
only so much, it's crazy to say, but there's only so much that car could do. And then the driver has to take over. Mm. And that's where Max took over and got pole on the fourth, fifth fastest car. Which is incredible.
100%.
And Alonso's reaction, how good was that?
I know. He was almost fist pumping like this. I was like...
The smile on his face is just glorious.
I think he just appreciates the talent. I think he's just like... And he came out and we shared this on our Instagram. He said like, "It's just he's the benchmark. And he's just so amazing. Like, I'm paraphrasing obviously here. But yeah, he... that lap. And it just came from... It came from nowhere. He was fourth and sixth all practice and... You know, he showed a little bit in Q1 and Q2, but then just when it matters. And that's why he gets paid the $80 million a year for that Q3 performance. I mean, seriously. I said to you on that Saturday night, James, you go, oh, how's the race going? I said, it's a race to the first corner tomorrow.
Yeah, you did.
Because these cars cannot follow this year. And it's got to that peak performance of these regulations. Yeah. And the downforce has just gone back to where it was before these new regs came along. So... Also, back to the race, it was a very strange day for tyres because the undercut didn't really work.
Mm.
I mean, you saw Oscar come in undercutting both Lando and Verstappen and just didn't really make any inroads at all.
And Lando got held up a little bit with obviously that incident with Verstappen.
Yeah, Verstappen.
But he still didn't really do anything.
And this goes back to where there's a lot of frustration today in the press and, you know, listening to
about what?
Why wouldn't they leave Lando Norris out?
Ah,
why wouldn't you let him out? You know, leave him out. Do another 10 laps on those tires. The tires weren't going off because you had Antonelli out front. He was losing a bit of time, but he was still putting good lap times in. Mm. Leave him out, pit him. Oscar lets him back pass if he passes him, and then go. He's going to have 10 lap fresher tires. Go attack Max at the end. I'm telling you right now, if this was Max Verstappen first, and we're back in the days of Mercedes with Bottas and Hamilton. Mercedes would have fucking done some crazy stuff to get past him. They would have pitted Bottas on the 10th lap. They would have put him on soft tires, got him out in front, slowed him. Like, they would have done some crazy things. With McLaren, they're almost happy to get second and third because all they're thinking about is a construction championship. Someone's going to knock on Zach Brown's head and go, hang on, mate. You know, people don't remember the constructors. They remember the driver's championship. And you won it last year. You need to win the driver's championship this year.
Yeah, 100%.
So you need... This is what... They're happy. They're winning on paper, second and third. How good's that? No. This Max Verstappen, if they get this car right, middle of the year, there's massive rule changes coming in Barcelona from all reports where these flexi wings and things are going to change. If it's going to give Red Bull an upper hand, you have to take the points now while you can. It happened to Red Bull last year. They got the points when they can earlier in the year.
Very cool.
And he won the championship. So it's going to cost them again.
Man, that's really well said.
Thank you.
Really well said. That was really
well
put.
Must be the
endo. Yeah. This man is high. I've never seen him talk so much. Just throwing outside of his mouth.
And I'm sure people at home are the same thing. Like, McLaren going to ball? Are they going to balls this up again? Who knows?
Are they too nice?
It has to.
They're too nice.
They did not pit. They did not pit Oscar early enough yesterday for him to do any damage because there was no undercut. Granted, they might have not known that, but they're too afraid of that. The same incident happening in Hungary last year when they were fighting over the radio. They're too afraid of that happening again because they got crucified in the media for it. Crucified. They're too afraid of it happening again. They're probably more than happy to take second and third and have nothing, no problems, than having a chance of winning and then getting second and third anyway. Leclerc was 10 seconds behind at the end of the race. He was nowhere near it. He was not even in contention. Got to try something different.
Yeah, I agree. Like, they're too nice. And that's the thing. Like, Red Bull and Max, and as you said, Mercedes back in the day, they're the ones where you got to have that killer instinct. And I just can't believe how Max is only a point behind.
It's wild, man. It's wild. And like, you think how fast McLaren were in Australia, whether it shocked them into that in Oscar's mistake, but and then just, you know, dominated in China. And yeah, 1 point behind.
You know what it reminds me of? And this is so niche, and our niche listeners will know this. I'm throwing at the World Superbikes for a second. But there was the year Alvaro Bautista came into Ducati. He won the first 10 races.
Yeah, he did.
Johnny Ray came second.
Yes.
And he came third, and he came second, and he came second. He just stayed there. And then Bautista started making mistakes, and Johnny Ray won that title.
I remember that. And I remember that happening because I was like, Johnny Ray has won everything the last 5 years. Everything. Yeah. And I'm like, well, who's this guy? Who's he come in and won every race for the first 10 races? That was why. Well, I think it was more than 10. Was it 12 races, maybe? Because you have 3 races a weekend, don't you?
Yeah, unless it was before Super Bowl racing.
Possibly.
It was something like that. But it just kind of hints at something like that.
Yeah.
The thing with Formula One is that you hit the nail on the head. Red Bull last year took the points while they could, and then it flipped.
Yeah, you know,
and that's...
Cashed in. Yeah, they cashed in.
And that's exactly what could happen this year. We could be wrong and then, McLaren runs away with it. Mm. But like... Yeah, it was just a stunning performance.
Just to leave him, like, you can't give Max a sniff. You just can't. You have to, like, the guy had a sniff in qualifying, puts on a pole. No one was ever going to pass him.
Yeah. It's just, this guy has such a winning mentality.
Yeah.
He's inspirational.
Different. And it was like, and look, that pit stop probably moved over slightly into Lando. Probably moved over slightly, but of course you're going to do that.
Bro, of course you're going to do that. And if he moved a tiny bit. But you can't go off your line.
Can't either, no.
So he had to be there anyway.
Yeah.
And at no point was Lando even side by side with him. He was always a wheel back.
And what's with Lando locking the brakes and running wide in the last corner of the last lap? Like, how's that? Is he doing that so Piastri didn't do a dive bomb up the inside? Like, that's just a strange move for me as well.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that. Like, you have a chance of actually getting a penalty by cutting the corner and getting an advantage there, but obviously you slow down enough. But we had a big conversation yesterday between the three of us because we sat down and watched it with Bandana Man and his lovely partner, Margie.
The notorious Bandana Man.
Notorious. Infamous.
Infamous.
We talked about these mandatory two-stop races.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And it's a really interesting one. And I think it's probably... Looking at it, I think I probably would prefer like a mandatory soft tire. You have to use a soft tire on the Grand Prix because then it might allow someone to go really long on the hard at the start and then put the soft on at the end. That'd make it really exciting.
That's cool.
But for me, that probably would be there's a real argument for that. I mean, Monaco, they're trialing it this year, two-stop races.
Do you think, just to stay with Monaco for a second, is that going to, in your opinion, do anything?
Oh, I think it has to. Like, it actually has to do something because, like... Yeah, like in previous years, like probably 2 or 3 years ago, these guys are staying out until like 5 laps to go, then pitting. Yeah. The tires just do not go off.
Yeah,
you got to remember, Ricciardo was racing, won the race without 160 horsepower 1 year.
Yeah,
like there's no chance of passing, and the cars are even bigger now. So there's gonna be people staying out as long as possible, holding the pack up. Of course there is, but you're still gonna do two stops.
It's gonna be interesting.
So might have like 10 laps to go, and they're still gonna stop twice.
Oh, that'd be so.
So imagine if they wait till the second last lap, pit, come back out, pit again, come back out, and finish the race. Because that could happen.
It's not out of the realm.
It's not out of the realm because no one's gonna want to take that risk. So that it's gonna be. I don't know what they need like a. They need something.
A mandatory two-stop, I think, is a great idea. And it doesn't cost them anything.
I personally think it's some rounds they should do that. Like, go on.
Bandana Man proposed that you grab the asphalt from Abu Dhabi and take it to each track around the world and asphalt it the same as... And when he said that, I was pissing myself laughing. And I know he's listening to this right now. Like, oh, that's not what I said. Yeah, you're here to back me up.
And then I used a big fan of the pod, Stephen Bradshaw Layfields. He goes, Philip Wallen, it's too rough now. I just choose my tires up.
Oh.
And I don't want to do
a track day
anymore because I've got a whole set of tires now.
Stephen Bradshaw, infamous 131s, are you?
Yeah, and then Mark's like, oh, Bradshaw, I know that guy. I'm going to give him shit now. But it's true. Like you can have a mixture of services, and I think in different places, the reason why Bahrain's surface is so rough is because it has to have the sand's got to be on the track and not to affect. So it has to have, you know, it's got to be rough so it can the sand can sit inside the tarmac. But, you know, I'm not going to need that in, you know, in other tracks of the world, are you? So.
Nah, it's good. It's like motocross. You know, you go to different tracks around, which some are sandy because that's the climate.
Yeah.
Or clayey.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's the same thing as asphalt. It might all look the same, but it's obviously different.
Yeah. I mean, I how was that Supercross race we watched?
Bro, the mud.
The mud. I
Plessinger won.
Yeah.
So for our Supercross fans, Aaron Plessinger, he used to race, I think it's called GNCC, which is like their, it's an amazing series. And it's basically half, I wouldn't say motocross, it's almost half motocross, but half enduro, where they like, they have a massive line of like 50 bikes and waves.
Oh,
and
they
go into the forest and it's this massive loop through the forest. And it's the onboard footage is incredible. And people like Villopoto do it. And he used to do it. And that's why he's so good in those conditions. Because those conditions can get like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. Like, you know, people are good in different conditions. And it's like even like when it rains in MotoGP or rains in F1, you have those wet weather specialists.
Yeah. GNCC, if you're ever into cool dirt bike races, something different, look it up, guys. It's very cool. There's a lot of cool YouTube footage on it.
How were the grass fires through the weekend?
Bro, you told me, I'm like, why is there grass fires? It didn't make any sense to me. And then it was from the sparks, of course.
The sparks of the cars. But a couple of things to take out of this. We're coming out of a Japanese winter. So, but apparently it rains in Japan more in the winter than it rains in Japan more in the summer than it does in the winter. So the ground is super, super dry. And you saw that the grass was like dead. Like it was a really strange one. They mowed the track, but I think they left the grass a bit too long. And then they, from the Friday to the Saturday, they watered everything. Still happened. Yeah, they were lucky. Cool. I'm telling you, they were so lucky that it rained on Sunday morning.
True.
Because if we had non-stop red flags through the whole, I mean, it would have probably made the race more exciting.
Yeah, actually, they probably needed that. Unlike the Japanese though, normally very organized, Tom.
Yeah, it's a strange one. And like,
they're not known to be lazy.
No.
If it was the Aussies, you'd be like, oh, makes sense. Absolutely makes sense.
And that's a great segue. I mean, Australia wet the grass every day for the 3 months leading into that Grand Prix because of this.
Jim's mowing Queensland, just hosing it down.
That's a good plug for our boy. But that's the difference. I mean, the organisation of the event, and it's and look, they said they mowed the grass, and then one of their fires started again, and the grass was still this long. So very un-Japanese like. Normally, like, you know, clinical. You're either get things done. You know, in private sort of thing. Get it all happening without anyone knowing.
I tell you what it is. Mm. I tell you exactly what it is. It's owned by Honda.
Oh,
Suzuka. Oh. And they get complacent, Honda. And you can see what's happened with Honda. They get complacent and have just let the Suzuka go.
Jeez.
You're gonna put that in the 10-point plan. Fix Suzuka.
Wow, that's a good point. It's true, it is owned by Honda. You're right. The Honda head office is there.
Yeah. Shinichi Honda is fucking not watering the plants.
He's not watering the plants.
Buy a gardener. Get a gardener. Oh, no. Get a gardener.
I mean, it's never happened. Not Wayne Gardner. It's never happened before, so there's no like need to do it. Like, oh, it's yeah.
They can get their bullet train on time. Profusely apologize if it's a minute late or 10 seconds late, but they got to fix their garden. Yeah.
back to your 3 points from the start, and they were good points. Had Jai qualified Hamilton, massive effort.
Amazing.
And he had some real issues to start at qualifying. I don't know exactly what happened, but I believe the seatbelts was almost sort of strangling his poor fucking fruit and two veg. And he was struggling big time. He was and then he puts it on seventh place. I mean, that was a great effort. I mean, he's a kid, he's a gun.
Best of the rest, seventh. You always talk about seventh, you know, Leclerc and the Sauber,
very
seventh.
Very good memory.
So like
even the Gasly in the whatever it was called back then. I still call it Toro Rosso, but whatever it was back then, AlphaTauri. Same, yeah, you're right. Best of the rest. Normally you have the three top teams and then the best of the rest. So absolutely great.
What a turnaround if you told him when he was crying in the back of the pits, Helmut Marko was berating him after round one. And then he puts it on seventh, gets eighth.
Gets
passed by Lewis Hamilton.
At the start, yeah. I mean, he's qualified seventh in Australia, seventh in... Yeah, I mean, it's had a great start to the year. And his first points.
Great. That's great start of the year. And it's awesome to see...
And they didn't fuck the strategy up.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about this.
Yeah, obviously listening.
Yeah.
young, good, young, young talent coming through, and a little bit, as you said, I didn't realize it was French. Yeah. Alain Prost like.
Yeah, very Alain Prost. His mannerisms. He doesn't look French. You're right. He looks like.
He looks Moroccan or Turkish or some shit.
They must have swam over the Mediterranean or something, I think he's...
Well, the French are full of... the French aren't even French anymore. Sorry for the French. Yeah. They're bloody all Africans and Arabs.
Took too many in.
Arabs.
Took too many in.
Have you seen the French national soccer team? I don't even think there's a white guy in there anymore. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's anyway, we'll talk about this.
Samuel Eto'o.
He's from bloody...
He's like Cameroon. Ethiopia.
But yeah, he's a gun. And look, Ollie Bearman outperforming Ocon. Something... Like all three rounds, he looked really, really good. Yeah. And then to put in 10th, stay 10th. And as I said to you, no TV coverage at all. I don't think I saw him on the tally after the first lap.
Bro, round one, we're sitting in the grandstand. I go, Tom, what's gone off Haas? And you go, they're fucking nowhere. Yeah. They're nowhere. Bang.
I know.
He's done that.
And Aoi Hachinoe, their team principal.
Are you just saying sushi names?
He said they had a fundamental issue in Australia with their setup.
Ah, oh, okay.
They turned it around completely in China and then backed it up here. And look, Ocon was still 16th, 17th, wasn't performing. And he's put on 10th, stayed 10th, had a gap to the rest. So, yeah.
Pound for pound kings are back. Ollie Bearman, pound for pound champ at the moment.
Do we get him out?
We're doing it after this.
Ah, oh, beautiful, beautiful.
It's... You know what F1 is at the moment? I feel like the last, how many years would you say? Maybe the last 6 years at least. It just seems like the talent's been stagnant.
Yeah.
And now there's so many rookies coming through and in their own way, they are proving themselves. Antonelli, Hadjar, Bearman, who's obviously like half a rookie or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Lawson struggling and Jack Doohan struggling, but they're still talking points, but it's good to see some fresh faces. Formula One doesn't need any help, but it's good to see some fresh faces.
Well, six rookies this year, first time in, I think, 15 years there's been that many rookies on the grid. So it's super exciting. And that's the reason, James, why we have a 42-year-old and a 40-year-old still on the grid is because there just hasn't been that young talent coming through. And F3 and F2 are producing talent, but just not that X factor, that once in every generation.
The money, mate. It's the money. Yeah. You know this.
Yeah, to a certain extent. To a certain extent. But yeah, it's...
sponsors.
But yeah, six rookies. It's been exciting. It's another aspect of this year that has been. But just needed some better racing. I mean, Australia got very, very lucky with that rain because I think that would have been a stink of a race. China, to a certain extent, wasn't really that much more exciting. I mean, they had some really horrid tire wear and, you know, you just couldn't follow. So, I mean, what have we got up next? We've got...
one of the Arab countries, yeah? Saudi Arabia? Is it Saudi
Arabia? No. We've got Bahrain this weekend and Saudi Arabia the weekend after. So, we've got a triple header all up. So, it's locked and loaded for F1. That's for sure.
And a double header of MotoGP.
How weird's that? Bahrain and Qatar, both in the same weekend.
That's weird.
That's the only thing that's ever happened. Because they're normally like...
Different.
Well, actually, no, they're normally the first rounds of the year, both of them.
How does that work?
Well, there's a reason why it's doing it this year is because Ramadan.
Yeah.
So Qatar and Bahrain were supposed to be the first rounds, usually. And this must be the first time they can have the race.
This is how much I don't know about anything about the Arab countries. Are they on the same time zone? Because their practice is going to be running...
Oh, but normally MotoGP normally give way for F1 usually, don't they?
100%.
Yeah. Because I remember if you have them on the same weekend, they usually put Moto2 last or something from memory.
Yeah, they haven't done that in a little bit. They've just trying to kind of change the times.
No, Bahrain's 1 a.m. race start, which is just a frustrating time.
Which, that's such an annoying time. That's like a cock tease time. MotoGP will be 3 a.m.
So 2 hours difference.
It'll be straight after the F1. They normally plan it either side. Either straight before or straight after.
Yep, 3 a.m. You're right. Yep. So 2 hours time difference.
God, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. But yeah, they're not normally on the same weekend when it's the first round either. Normally, MotoGP normally traditionally starts earlier in the year.
Yeah. Well, it's not often they do double header, but it's definitely... I've never seen it where they're in the same region.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't know how close Bahrain is to Qatar. I mean, 2 hours.
I could tell you anywhere in South America or Europe or something, but
yeah,
if you say Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, I couldn't point that out.
You got to remember, Victoria and WA are 3 hours difference. So I suppose it's going to be a similar distance to that. So it wouldn't be that far away.
Bro, that's a long way.
Oh, yeah, sure. Australia is huge, I suppose, but...
It's massive.
It certainly is.
What else you got for F1, big dog?
Dude, Bahrain is literally next to Qatar. It is Bahrain is an island that is like next to Qatar. And that's amazing. There's a 2-hour difference.
What?
Oh, actually. Well,
no, it won't be a 2-hour difference. No, it'll be just, the same time.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They're just, their F1 race will be on. F1. Yeah, because it's at night. Yeah. They're both at, Bahrain's twilight.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's right, it is. So just scratch the last minute of us just chit-chatting about that, but
F1 will be on when Moto 2, Moto 3 is on.
Yeah,
I've seen that before.
Yeah. Yep. No,
it's so annoying.
I haven't got interesting one for next year, and I'm not sure if the viewers are following this. That Aston Martin are going to Honda engines next year. Something that sort of didn't cross my mind, and then obviously Ford's coming in, and
For Red Bull.
With Red Bull and I believe V-Carb as well. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm assuming so.
Yeah.
They wouldn't go with two different engine manufacturers, so.
So what's your predictions? Obviously, don't give me your top five, but we're going into Bahrain.
Yeah.
Surely that's going to be for McLaren.
You think so? I mean, you have to look at the testing results and who had form there. And that's going to be a big thing to look at. Ferrari, I think, will be stronger. They haven't really shown much yet. Nah. Hamilton's...
It's not a sprint race.
Hamilton, guys, he's not the same Hamilton he used to be. And I think everyone's going to face the facts. He hasn't got that X factor, especially in qualifying. That was his thing.
Yeah.
That was his thing. Leclerc, other than the sprint race at China, Leclerc is outperforming.
It's just amazing that he got that sprint race win. Yeah. I know McLaren, stuffed themselves. I understand that.
Yeah.
But, he's still got that win. But everyone's going to face the fact that their hero... falls over that other over the edge over that other side. We've watched them all do it. F1, MotoGP, V8 supercars, NASCAR, whatever you want to say. Johnny Ray's in that boat now for World Superbikes.
They just don't have that split. It happens in qualifying because that's when you need 100% of everything, brain commitment. Power and commitment and confidence and everything. And he's still a world class driver, but he's just lacking that Lewis Hamilton of old.
You do see that. That's a great point you make. You do see that, especially, I'm sure on both. In MotoGP, the rookies will always qualify well. Quartararo, qualifying demon when he came in. Jorge Lorenzo put it on pole in his first ever MotoGP race. So
it's like no fear, though. It's weird, isn't it?
No fear. Yeah. They obviously, they haven't learned, I guess, the limitations of the bike or the car.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Like those, you see it all the time. Those rookies can qualify.
Yeah. Qatar. Well, speaking of, let's move on to MotoGP.
Yeah, Qatar's coming up.
So
this is the barometer. This is the race. This is the race that's going to tell me the season.
Are we putting Bagnaia up the top? That is going to be the big question for our tips because
I'll spoil this. I'm going to put him in for the win.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to put him in for the win. And I've always...
That would be juicy.
Just because he won Coda, I know people are going to say it's just because he won Coda, but even if Mark dominated Coda, I still would have put Bagnaia in for this win.
Cool. We're going to see Jorge Martin back.
It looks like it.
Very limited. I think it's going to be a test and try sort of weekend by the sounds of Massimo Ravioli. he's we don't know how he's going to be on the bike is what he's come out and said. And then you might as well put him for practice. Put him in for practice, see how he goes.
Of course.
You can't, we love Sava, but, him just sitting in the back of the grid's not going to teach us
testing.
Anything.
He's just testing.
So put him in practice. If he doesn't, he's not comfortable on the bike, then you just put Sava in back for qualifying in the race, I suppose, if you can do that. So that's going to be interesting to see. Let's see how quick he can come up to speed and with the bike and with his injuries and... it's just another aspect for the weekend.
I think if Jorge Martin races this weekend and he gets a top 10, that's a win.
Oh, 100%. Top 10 would be a really, really good effort. Yeah. He'd be happy with that, I'm sure.
100%.
Yeah.
But we've spoke about him, nauseam, but he is so, the championship's gone, but so far behind the eight ball. Missing, it sucks to see.
This is going to be a really good race. I'm feeling it. Marquez, back in form, 100% form, no injuries, no niggling, nothing. He's going to be on arguably Bagnaia's one of his more favourable tracks.
Yep.
Bagnaia up there, it's going to be a super race.
Traditionally not a Marquez track.
How am I going to do this, James, this weekend? How am I going to watch both?
I'm going to have to watch... Oh, bro, it's all on so late.
It's actually almost impossible. Yeah. You'd have to get up at like 4 a.m. and watch Moto F1 and then MotoGP after it. I mean, that's the only way.
You know what I might have to do? I might have to go and get that Thailand Ritalin. I'll have 6 pages of notes.
But yeah, it's almost like you have to take Monday off situation.
Yeah, Adrian, if you're listening,
yeah,
I need it paid.
Or get the Ritalin out.
Yeah, get me the Ritalin.
That's going to be hard for the viewers this weekend. And from memory, it's never been this hard because normally when we have a European race for F1, we might have an Asian or a Middle Eastern race for MotoGP. Yeah, so it's never really been like this. And obviously, it's just different this year with how the with the Ramadan and everything. So yeah, that's going to be super tough. I haven't actually just dawned on me actually.
Oh my God.
Because like, and I'm sorry in advance for next week, but we're going to be tired boys doing this podcast next Monday night. So yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
And
MotoGP is going to be so exciting. I have to watch F1. Like I can't wait the whole day to watch it at night. And the thing is the same, I can't get spoiled. I don't want to get spoiled for MotoGP. This is going to be one of the races it's going to be the race of the season. So yeah.
Can you fit in MotoGP and F1 in the morning and not worry about Moto2, Moto3?
Yeah, you can.
Because I'll probably do all 3-2 and GP, and then I'll have to somehow fit in Formula 1.
Well, you have to admit, you have to ask yourself, you got to get up at probably 4:45 and you chuck MotoGP on, watch it, get it over and done with, bang, and then straight into F1s. And then if you have to FF a little bit F1, you can. If you're running out of time.
Fuck, you could have done that with Suzuka.
Oh, yeah. Oh, someone were part of one of the pages and someone said, oh, bloody hell, I fell asleep on lap 6 and woke up at lap 10. Everyone's like, oh, I wish I did that.
Bro,
didn't miss much.
I was falling asleep watching it because Danby gave me that beer. And if I just have one beer, it just puts me to sleep.
Yeah.
I was like half nodding off on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a boring one, unfortunately. But you know what? Lucky it was us three watching it because it made it kind of fun.
Yeah, well, listening to Danby talk about ripping out the tarmac from Abu Dhabi and putting it on all the other tracks around the world was pretty glorious. So I found that funny.
Yeah.
Marquez, it's not his track. It's a Bagnaia track.
We're getting a bit of argument
it's,
on that
it's
one,
not
though.
His track. He says it himself. He's gone on record for it. Mm. Plus...
You're paraphrasing here.
Paraphrasing. Plus, he's had that many one-on-one battles that he's lost.
Yeah.
To Dovi.
Oh, yeah. But it's a different MotoGP now. You can't sit in someone's back wheel for all race anymore.
Nah, but they've been better this year.
Jimmy, let's talk protection. Because what you wear actually matters in a crash. Nemium armored leggings have a 3-star impact protection, 4-star comfort, and the thinnest CE level 2 armor available. More protection, less bulk.
Tommy, one of the many reasons I love this product is because of the comfort. You can wear these Nemium leggings underneath like your jeans, your normal chino pants, mate. When I'm riding, I don't want to be dressed up like a stiff motorcycle rider wearing leather everywhere. I want to be wearing my normal jeans, getting a coffee, whatever, looking cool. I love how these leggings just go under everything seamlessly and you just fit in with the normal crowd.
I mean, there's no overheating, there's no stiffness, and look, we really believe in this product.
Yep.
It's MotoCap tested. It's proven to have a 5.42 second slide time. These things are very, very hard to get in this industry. Serious riders wear Nemium. Upgrade your ride at Nemium.clothing.
I love it. And use code NEMIUMREPUBLICA for 10% off.
Now back to the podcast. Well, yeah, I mean, Alex Marquez, he's been looking.
Yeah. Marquez did it as well.
Yeah, but yeah, true. But Marquez had such an advantage in Thailand. We have to remember that.
He's
such
an advantage everywhere.
Yeah, such an advantage, pace wise. So,
how's Alex Marquez? We talk about Alex Marquez. We're like, we're not too sure. And then he just
finished second again.
He's always there.
Did he? He came third in
sprint.
Sprint. So it's his first. So second. Yeah. Far out. That's crazy. How will he go? I don't know. I think he might dip this week.
Yeah, well, we keep saying it. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
The VR46 boys look good.
Did ya?
Yeah.
Did ya? Had a couple more weeks off. Yeah. More healing.
He's looking good, man.
Yeah.
Because Morbidelli's looking great as well.
Well, I think a Morbidelli and an Alex Marquez, that's going to be a bit of a battle royale coming into this season.
Do you think Digi is going to overtake Alex Marquez?
Oh, I think Digi will be up there. I think it's going to be a battle with Morbidelli and Alex.
Yeah.
And then I think when Martin gets fit, he'll be up there as well. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting.
100%.
I think I still think Martin will win a race before the end of the year.
Yeah, well, God, you would think so, but bro, it's
got to beat Marc Marquez.
It's a hard time to win a race.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pecco Bagnaia is struggling.
And this goes back to, like, in 2019, 2018, how hard it was to win a race with a fit and healthy Marc Marquez.
Yes and no. 2019, definitely. But, like, if you actually go through some of those results, 2018, I believe Marquez only won 6 races. But the thing was, as people forget, is he just finished 2nd and 3rd. You know, there was people that were quicker on his day. Like, he had... You know, 2014.
Was that Dovi year, 2018? Yeah. Was that him and Dovi were fighting? Because Dovi won a lot of...
He did.
Won a lot of races, like last lap battles and stuff.
There's been... He's had a few championships where he's won 5, 6, 7 races.
Yeah.
You know, he had 10 in a row in 2014. That's what everyone remembers. Mm. And 2019, where he dominated and didn't finish lower than 2nd. So, like, okay, he dominated that one. But he's had those... He has had those seasons where he's only won 6 races. When we say only.
But he's lost... He lost a lot of lap last corner. Well, like, I actually only remember him winning that one race in the last corner. That was against... Was it against Quartararo in Thailand?
When he won the title. Yeah. That's the only one I can remember.
That's the only one I remember. That's Dovi in... Dovi Iannone in Austria.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, I mean, Malaysia was the same thing.
Silverstone, Alex Rins.
Yeah. Yes. Oh.
Great race.
That was one of the best races ever.
Yeah.
So unexpected, that result.
2015, 2016, maybe it was 2016. Remember, we had 10 different winners in MotoGP.
Yeah. That was good.
So, like, just because Marquez is there doesn't mean he's it looks like he's going to win every race this year. And obviously he's not, and he hasn't, but, like, there's surprises.
Yeah.
But that was a crazy season.
Yeah. Well, Crutchlow won a race, didn't he, back then? The 10 different races.
Bro, crazy.
Yeah.
News coming out that there's all this... they've been listening to the pod, obviously. But all this talk about Zarco
wanting to go to the factory team.
Yeah. And there's apparently a bit of politics to it.
Yeah, but you know what? I would say that at the start of the year. I probably went on record to say that. But now, I think Marini and Mir are doing enough. And why upset... Why upset the team? I just don't get that. He's on a factory bike.
I know, but like they want doesn't matter. They still want the factory bikes being up front.
Yeah.
It's
We had this conversation a few weeks ago and I had that argument myself. I'm like, you want the factory bikes winning, but if it's a Honda, it's a Honda. But the other thing is, does he get paid more if he goes to a factory team?
Yeah, of course.
So that's the other thing he's got to think about. And we lose sight of money all the time.
I know. That was actually the biggest takeaway we took when we first started interviewing people.
Yeah.
Was the money.
Yeah.
And we never thought about it because, you know, why would you?
Fans, why would Quartararo stay at Yamaha? He's getting paid $12 million fucking dollars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
$12 million.
It was even when we were speaking to Damo Cudlin, you know, pod fave. And he was talking about just, you know, you just scrape by and of course you're going to take that ride for the money. It's your job at the end of the day. You need to get paid. And it just shows how crazy it is that Marquez turned down 100 mil.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, HRC, they're going to, you know, they can throw the checkbook and they're going to throw the checkbook at someone like Acosta.
Or do they throw it back at Mark after he's won a couple?
That's my, I've already staked my claim in that one.
Yeah. We'll see.
Exactly what's going to happen.
Suzuki, any talk? Whispers?
It's not.
They're not coming back in?
They're not coming
back in. Lots of talk about BMW 27 with Toprak. There's lots of rumors about
that's
that.
That's the biggest chance.
Yeah. Toprak to Honda, but like, you know, they've probably got enough riders now. I mean, you know, we've had this conversation about Japanese, but you know.
If it was me, I would have Zarco and me. Crazy thing
we need
to
a
say.
Rich Turkish man to come in and go, Idemitsu out. I'm coming in and Toprak coming with me and we're going to be on that second LCR bike. That would be glorious.
Yeah, that's cool.
You like that?
Like he's promoting his own Turkish like plumbing business.
Or like hair transplants.
Nose jobs.
Yeah, something like that. Like, you know, that would be cool. Like, and I'm sure like every country has billionaires. They just need to be in love with MotoGP.
Well, yeah. Well, you're going up against Idemitsu, who's an oil tycoon.
I still think there's something, and look, I'm just paraphrasing, not going on record here, but I reckon there's something to do with Honda and Idemitsu.
I think there is a partnership in Japan.
There has to be, because it just doesn't make sense that no one's come and used that as an opportunity. If you're going to be like, we're going to only put Asian riders in this team, which is borderline racism.
Yeah. But it makes sense though, because they're still going to want a Japanese rider on their own Japanese bike. So like, you know, it's like if we had our own Aussie bike, we would want an Aussie rider with an Aussie sponsor. Like, I get it.
Oh,
I get it. It's still dumb.
Well, it's like the VR46 are only Italians.
Yeah.
And it only has had Italians in the team, haven't they?
Yeah, 100%. Until Acosta goes there.
Yeah, we'll see.
He's the only exception.
We'll see about that.
He doesn't seem happy.
I'm so excited for this weekend. I know it's a shit time, but... You just have to get up early on Monday morning. That's going to be the only thing. 4:30 probably.
Bro, Moto...
Because you've got to allow for red flags and stuff.
Moto 3 racing in Qatar is one of the best. It's like always 10 riders to the line. Yeah. It's always so good.
Yeah.
And the last two corners are so inviting. They're like two Jerezes.
Yeah.
The left and the right.
Yeah, that's that fast left-hander, isn't it?
It tightens up on you.
It's like a 90-degree left. It's like, you know what's crazy about that corner? It's flat, full flat in an F1 car. And it's so different in like a Moto3 bike.
So
different. It's like a full turn. Like it's a...
And it works for Moto3 because the track's like a perfect width. So they get like 8-9 bikes abreast going into a corner. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
We had a good response on our Coda clip talking about that back straight and how... dangerous, like scary and dangerous.
Yeah. And it's also people don't realize that you're actually turning a slightly right the whole time down it. It's not a complete straight.
Do you remember the crash of Acosta on Moto3?
Yes, I do.
And he like leaped over another bike. Like that was scary.
There's a couple of, like, even Fernando Alonso a couple of years ago ran up the back of Stroll.
Oh, really?
And got airborne, smashed into the barrier on the left, pitted, put fresh tyres on, change the wing and finish the race.
Oh my God.
It was incredible.
You're not telling me that Stroll was involved in an incident, were you?
It looked like he half brake checked. It was similar to like Mark Webber at Valencia back in...
Valencia?
Back in 2012 when he went over the top of it. That was a cool track. I used to love that.
That was like it had a big sweeping. Was it a right-hander or a left-hander?
Yeah.
That was like not even a straight and they called it a straight.
Typical Spanish, but I think they ran out of money or the mafia ran it or something. I don't know, something happened.
Then don't they bring it... Such an assumption. If you want to like just talk assumptions, go
as I said, we're the kink of paraphrasing here. Yeah, you can't take me to court if you're paraphrasing. All right,
it's a loophole.
I'll use it.
We love a loophole.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! What I was going to say? Oh, Madrid are making a street circuit, aren't they? Yeah. El Madrido.
Yeah, well, El Madrido. It's taking. I think it's going to replace Barcelona.
They're going to release the bulls halfway through the race. Oh, that's going to replace Barcelona. That's fucking...
Yeah, it's... I mean, like, normally I would not like them to replace a traditional F1 track, but Barcelona for me...
That's a snooze fest.
That is normally a snooze fest, yeah. Talk about a rough track. That kills tyres, that track. Remember Alonso Lopez? Moto2 last year? Absolutely destroyed the tyres. I've never seen someone just pull up so fast. Like, bro, he just fell off the cliff, those tyres.
But like...
We should have asked him about that, how crazy that would have been.
It was some, you know, when you watch a rider and like you know they're visibly slower, but it doesn't look like, it still looks like they just got a grip.
Yeah.
He looked like he had flat tires.
People, that's the third corner, that long right hander, people going out around the outside of him, like unheard of.
And he was just like wobbling everywhere.
Like just spinning the tire up. Crazy.
God, what a nightmare. That is. That's good for that. But I don't think Barcelona in MotoGP, obviously it's had the best race of all time. Don't come at me.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's provided the best racing, to be honest.
Well, in all honesty, the first corner is really the only passing opportunity. Maybe into that small hairpin in the middle of the track. Maybe, but...
The back straight left-hander is a passing
hop. Yeah.
But I find I would love to go to Barcelona, but I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't make
it's weird, isn't it? Yeah. It's the same. It doesn't have like, it just doesn't have that same
it have
history.
Like an aura.
Yeah, it doesn't have like the Jerez, like, oh my God, the fans are crazy. And yeah, it's a strange one. Like, we've been talking about going to an international race, and James and I sort of going through the different races this year and thinking which would be the best one. And it makes perfect sense, Barcelona, because it's direct flights and, you know, that
probably should.
That sort of thing. But like, it's, yeah, it's the same. It's like, oh, Barcelona, it's so weird. Maybe it's just us. Maybe it is just us.
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe we've got a weird thing about
it. Yeah, it's weird.
But shout out to our boys, Jack Mahaffey and I think Maranello. Or was it Mahaffey and Bramwich? Tom Bramwich go. ASBK, Super Sport Writers.
Yeah.
They went last year for the last round.
Yeah, cool.
And they said it was amazing. And yeah, it's obviously going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But it's yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think it's had the best race of all time there as well. It's like, probably it's crazy. Just us. I think it's just us. I don't know. Let you know your thoughts.
Yeah.
In the comments.
Let's jump into hot takes, baby. World famous.
Bro, I've had the president of Argentina message us about how good these hot takes are.
Oh, he's jumped back on board, GP, since he canned
it. Hey, he's one of the boys.
He canned it for 2 years.
First one, I like this. Thank you. At Nico Alexander, your feed is dope as fuck. With one of these emojis.
Yeah, that's a W right there.
And a fire emoji. So love. if you give us compliments, you're probably going to get read out.
Love it, G.
Our boy, reigning world champion, number one ticket holder. Oh. This could be you. This could be, we're looking next year.
And you can't win it two years in a row.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, if you are a number one ticket holder, you get rights to get read out on our weekly hot takes.
Yep.
So we're following who writes in
comments
for our next number one ticket 100%. Holder. And it's called Papa. Got a little merch pack from us for winning as well last year. So
we're hearing there might be a bit of an unveiling from him soon. He video called us the other day.
Yeah.
Papa, mistakenly. I thought I was gonna answer the phone, it'd be like Kenny from South Park coming out. Like, I finally see what he looks like.
We still don't know what he looks like.
Yeah. He's infamous. Infamous as Mark Bandana Mandambi.
Yeah, that's pretty bloody infamous, mate. Moto3 grid lacks a rider with star power because of a lot of new riders not saying it's bad. So what he's saying is there's no like a Costa or Alonso in there. It's just there's no like...
It's probably the first year.
No X factor yet.
But I think Piqueras is going to have that by the end of the year.
Or that Quiles guy.
Quiles or Rueda. He's looking probably the best, but he's probably right. Like, we've had Acosta and then David Alonso.
Yeah. It's always going to happen.
But even 2 years ago, it was probably a similar thing because we had Acosta that was already gone.
We had David Alonso's first year.
Yeah. But he didn't. Like, did he win a race?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Or he got like podiums. He was amazing in his first year.
Yeah. I'll give that a fair call. Take.
100% it's a fair take.
Rough, but fair.
Yeah. Yep. Agree. At @ha_Melbon, is Agüero's start to the season equally as impressive as Pedro Acosta's?
Yeah, look, I've talked about this. Like, Acosta seriously had, yes, he had a good start to the year last year, but hasn't done much since. I'm still not going to say it's not as impressive, no. Because he was fighting for top threes at the start of last year in his first year.
And he got podiums. Yeah. But we're only early on in Aigura's career. Yeah. But you can only judge, I believe, on a rookie, you can only judge them on the people on the same machine.
Yeah.
And Acosta was doing better and Aigura is doing better.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. But the star's not there, James. The star is not
his fault.
That's
his fault.
I know.
But bro, you're going up against Marco Bezzecchi, Mr. Fraudwatch.
You just answered your own question.
Yeah. You know, and he's got to pull his finger out. Talk about pressure.
Yeah.
He, for some reason, doesn't have any pressure, though.
And then, yeah, Raul Fernandez somehow has still got the contract and has done absolutely nothing.
He must bring in, like, a sponsorship or something.
I don't know.
He has to do something.
No, they believe him. They've come out and said it.
All right, I'm going to say it. At DSilver87S, all the way from North Carolina.
The jewel of the South. The jewel of the South.
I couldn't tell you where it is on the map. I'm gonna
no,
say
no. It's.
I'm gonna say easterly inland.
No, it's yes, it is easterly inland. You're right.
Thank you.
Bottom east inland,
kind of next to Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama. Oklahoma.
Alabama football. Jerry Rice. Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, they like their
the Americans. We eat this up. How do they know this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bloody hell, beans and rice. That's fucking funny.
If no rainy crash, Schwantz equals zero titles. Doohan equals 1-2, and rainy equals goat.
Well, you answer that question because I can't. I'm not educated enough.
I can't answer that question. Like, Rainey was amazing.
Yeah.
And he won. I read his book. It was one of the first ever books I read was Wayne Rainey's book. Really interesting and so detailed on, obviously, how he became paralyzed in San Marino. Because you know how Wayne Rainey got paralyzed because they had...
The F1 ripple strip. Yeah, they had it on like waved.
Sand trap.
Yeah, the sand trap was waved.
Yeah, wavy. And that's what did him undone, unfortunately. Yeah. Which is... I think they tested it or something like that.
What corner?
I couldn't tell you.
Was it the fast right-handers? Is it the same track?
I think it's different. I think they've changed the layout, I'm pretty sure. Because funny enough, I was watching an old World Superbike race on YouTube and it was a different layout.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure they have.
Kyle Fogarty was racing.
Yeah. But they weren't racing in Imola back then, were they? Have they ever raced a GP at Imola?
Yeah, because Rossi's raced at Imola.
Yeah, okay. Jeez, that would be crazy.
That's a crazy track. But getting back to it, who knows, man?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Wayne Rainey is an absolute talent, but... Obviously, he's an absolute talent. He was incredible on motorcycles. And on that factory, Marlboro Yamaha looked beautiful. But I don't know. I wasn't even a thought then.
Well, it's funny. The American point of view versus the Australian point of view.
Yeah.
Because obviously, he's got his own fan. You know, he's a fan of Rainey. But Mick Doohan on that Honda.
Yeah.
Unbeatable for those few years. I mean, he had some challenges, obviously. But it's hard to say. Doohan would have won one championship out of the five.
Yeah, and he was close.
That makes Rainey like a 9-time world champion.
Doohan was close to winning a title and probably almost should have won it until he broke his leg and when he had to fuse them together. Mm. So,
and that was before his five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was when he was on the Rothmans Honda.
Yeah.
So, who knows? But old American riders are great. And the rivalries between Schwantz and Rainey, like if you ever watch Faster, the movie, incredible. They talk about it in detail and just how much they hated each other. Yeah. And like a practice session, if they beat them by, you know, a tenth of a second, like that was a win. Like then if Rainey beat Schwantz and Schwantz couldn't sleep that night or vice versa. And it's crazy. Like this is what I love about this sport and like Senna and Prost is, God, they hated each other so much, but the respect was there. And then when they retired, you know, they became mates. Senna couldn't stop talking, you know, calling Prost.
Yeah.
Schwantz and Rainey, like, they hated each other. And now they're like, you know, such good mates and the respect because they're the only two people in that world that could match each other. Yeah. And you got to have respect for that for each other because there's no one else in the world that could do what they could do on a bike or a car.
Well said.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's funny. And I think we're losing that, like... You got Verstappen pushing Lando off on the weekend. And look, rightfully so. And they're more laughing and joking about it in the thing.
I would never have flown in the 90s.
No way. It would have been like, you fucking push me off. And, you know, I'm not going to fucking can't. Because, you know, but it would have been like a bit of that.
Yeah.
Now it's, how funny is that lawnmower?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck yourself.
James Hunt and Niki Lauda, they hated each other, didn't they?
No, there was I think more of a mutual respect there. Because, like, James Hunt was a free spirit, man. He was fucking... cool as cucumber but there was no, I don't think there was much hatred there.
Okay.
I mean, that movie would have portrayed a little bit of that, but all seriousness, nothing like the Prost and Senna days. Like,
God, I love it. Like I love the hatred. Yeah. But when they make up afterwards, I think it's great to see. Yeah. I really do.
And look, over the years, I mean, is it realistically everyone sort of made up probably except the Rossi and Marquez situation.
And you never know, that might change.
Oh, that would be a small miracle.
But the Europeans are like harder. They're more stubborn. Where we're talking about Americans and Aussies and stuff. Nah. And Senna was seventh South American.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You only got one Euro in there and that's Prost.
Not true. And once there's two of them. Nah, oh, stubborn is all shit. Those two, that bloody continent. That's stubborn. Oh, hilarious.
That's funny. God, Jason, you just got us on an absolute tangent from North Carolina.
Yeah.
At Jack Giles. The OG listener, this version of Mark Marquez could win on the 2025 Honda. Big call.
Nah, I saw that come in and I don't agree. I think we know the Honda is better, but you know, it's still nowhere near a Ducati over a race distance. And I don't think he's any better. It's argument because he's injured. But he's not any... it's a hard one, actually. Yeah, got me thinking. Because you got to remember, post-Jerez 2020, he wasn't right. His body wasn't right. And remember him in that race? How crazy he was? Mm. He went off that same turn, went back in the field, came back through the field and crashed again. Like, he was an animal that race. So, who knows? Who knows? I mean, it's four years of his career that we'll never know what could have happened.
I don't think so.
But you know what? It probably was good for MotoGP. You had the born star of Bagnaia Ducati coming back. Probably bought a few Italians back to the sport. Who knows? Mm. I mean, if they don't, like, if Rossi's not there, they're not watching it. That's what we're gathering from a lot of people.
Yeah,
so
100%. At It's Called Papa again, a quick one. If you guys could get a dream sponsor for the pod, who would it be?
Red Bull.
Yeah, Red Bull and Monster, because I emailed Monster.
I think we're being a Red Bull. Were we Red Bull athletes then? Imagine we get to go to the fucking performance center?
Imagine you wearing a Red Bull athletes shirt.
I admit. We were sitting with Jacob Rulston. He's got an app on his phone. Yeah. And this is a Moto3 rider. And he's sponsored by Red Bull, and he's a Red Bull athlete. He's not MotoGP, he's not Formula One, but he gets his app. He can send any apparel anywhere in the world. He can get 24 packs of Red Bull sent anywhere in the world free of charge.
Pallets.
Yeah. As many as he wants. And he was showing us this app, and I was like,
incredible. And the apparel we could get was just insane.
Yeah, you can get apparel sent to him, like, you know, if within 3 days or something from Europe. Like,
it's pretty amazing.
It is, yeah. But that's why they're the best.
Yeah. One last one from It's Called Papa. That's why you're number one ticket holder. If Max wins the championship in this car, would it be the greatest win in F1 in the last 20 years?
Well, it's probably from memory in the last 20 years, and there's lots of arguments about this. I think Raikkonen in 2007 was an incredible win.
Yep.
Against both those McLarens. I think all Red Bull dominance. I think Red Bull had the fastest car. I think of all the Mercedes dominance.
But like, this is backs against the wall.
Backs against the wall. I mean, arguably the 2021 Verstappen had the faster car until the last 5 races of the year. And then Mercedes is just a bullet. So yeah, it's probably on point.
That's cool.
But guys, you got to understand, there is a massive rule change coming in Spain in a few rounds time, where they're stopping all this flexi wing nonsense. And from all reports, Red Bull are obeying by this easily, where the McLarens, the Mercedes and the Ferrari have to change their car.
It's going to be interesting.
So,
how many rounds is that away?
Two more rounds.
Yeah, I guess. At Tony Green NZ, Danny Rick is going to fill the missing seat in Motorsport Republica for 2025.
That'd be cool. Yeah,
well, get him on. You know what to do. at Willie Nels, do you think F1 teams would favor quality over sponsor money if points awarded to more places?
I think, to be honest with you, I don't think sponsor money from drivers is as important these days for Formula One, because you have to understand that this sport's probably one of the biggest sports in the world now.
Yeah.
They've got no problem with getting sponsors.
Yeah.
Yes, as you know, Colapinto brings X amount of dollars, he brings X amount of dollars, but there's no paid drivers anymore. Yeah. And that's probably since Drive to Survive that has changed.
100%.
There used to be teams that used to take payment from Japanese businessmen to go in practice one.
Yeah.
So there was, like, I remember Hiroshi Anemoto came in.
That's good.
You like that?
You can say any word and I'll believe you, mate.
Came in and did Suzuka practice, third lap, his neck let go. So, because you got to remember, these F1 drivers' necks so strong. So he's going around the S's, turning left, his head's like this, it's gone. It's just flopping around. He's got no muscle left. Other third lap. God. So that's going back in time. That's the OG. People would understand that.
What year do you think that was?
2010.
Really?
Yeah.
2010?
Yeah.
2010.
If you're Sebastian Vettel, you must be just laughing at this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, was it 2010? Or was it like... There was a year that those three teams came in. It was Lotus, Marussia.
Oh, Marussia. I remember
that. And HRT. It was HRT. It was probably 2012, 2013. Because Jules Bianchi died in 2014. Rest he was racing for Marussia.
Yeah.
So I was probably 2012, 2013. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. At JRAD underscore 2.0, step bro Miguel Oliveira doesn't even want to race anymore and should be replaced by a rookie. Harsh. Dude's injured. Harsh.
Harsh.
At B Rothberg, if you started a team fresh, which drivers would you take? For me, Max, Oscar and Bottas the third.
Bottas? Nah.
As a third driver.
Oh, as like a backup driver. Yeah. I'll take like a Fernando Alonso because you'd have... Imagine the knowledge you'd have in testing and putting the car together and all
for
that kind
of third?
Stuff. For a third?
Yeah. What's your first two?
It'll be Max Verstappen.
Clearly.
And... Oh, it's a hard one. Don't know.
Come on, bro. You gotta give me it. You can't leave that.
Nah, I'm not going to say it.
Why not?
We'll tell the viewers next week. Cliffhanger, mate. Leave it at that.
The drugs are getting to you.
Yeah, I'm going downhill.
What did the doctor say to you?
She said, stay in bed. Keep it elevated. Don't do anything tonight or tomorrow. I said, oh, okay.
What about the... aren't you going to get like a dip in energy or something like that?
Yeah,
like
she goes, I'm going to give you this shot of adrenaline. In 2 hours, you're going to be almost asleep. I said, all right. She goes, no driving.
It's like you're like a when the tires go off, you're going to be going off a cliff.
I like Alonso Lopez in Barcelona.
That's a callback.
Yeah.
Hart underscore Melbourne, F1 needs to rethink the direction of the cars. 130R is nothing now. Lose the aero and make them lighter.
Who's this?
Hart underscore Melbourne.
Hart Melbourne, come on, bro. They got whole new regulations coming next year. Wait for that, Chicho. Love you, bro. OG fan.
OG fan. At Alan J. Chapman, Binder and Acosta both leave KTM next year. 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
That's definitely happening. All right, last one. M. Dub 93. When Mark retires, it will leave a bigger hole on the sport more than when Rossi retired.
Disagree
as well.
Yeah, Rossi changed the sport. Marquez is arguably more talented and the GOAT, but Rossi changed the sport and probably half the reason why we're sitting here today.
One of the absolute big main reasons is why we're both sitting here today is because of Valentino Rossi. Yeah. You cannot take that away.
No.
And you can see the hole it left in Italy in a lot of races still in Italy.
Damo has his house full of MotoGP memorabilia. Yeah. Rossi everywhere. Tom, are you going to watch Argentina this weekend? Oh, is that on this weekend? They've lost them. They're gone. They're gone.
They're slowly coming back.
Dagnaia's a two-time world champion.
Yeah, I know. On a Ducati.
They're gone. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. That's how he's changed the sport.
He has changed it more than anyone and more than anyone ever will.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. There was a hole in the sport when Marquez wasn't there, though.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
For the racing and for the spectacle. How much of a spectacle it is having him back.
Oh, it's amazing.
And he is on another level. We get that. But Rossi was just a god.
Yeah.
He's a god of motorcycle racing. Yeah. And you just cannot take that away from him.
You can't. Thanks, guys. Great pod.
Thanks.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you on a sleep-deprived Monday.
Oh, yeah. See you.